We made this.
And welcome to We Buy Records. I'm Paul Field and I'm joined as ever by my co-host, Mr. Tim Scullion.
Hello.
Tim, have you been buying records this week?
No, not this week.
No, not me neither.
A little bit of housekeeping to kick things off. We like to sort of keep things nice and tidy. We had a segment in an earlier episode, I believe it was episode one. If you can believe we've already come that far.
I know.
About cleaning records.
Yes, can I just point out to the listeners that when we recorded this, Tim was like, oh, really? Should we cut this out? Nobody's interested in cleaning. Guess what, Tim? Everyone's interested in cleaning.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm irritated by that fact, but putting that to one side, we've had a few listener comments about cleaning records, which is fine. Matt Jones' method is warm soapy water and a paint pad.
Yes, he sent us a video of his son doing exactly that. It was brilliant.
And then a microfiber cloth as well for cleaning and drying off. Seems pretty good. Again, my issue with the soap is getting that soap residue out afterwards. But, you know, if Matt, we've all got to live our own way. Simon Galloway, again, soapy water. Why don't they listen to what I say? And a spin clean record washer and fragrance-free baby wipes.
Yes, he put a picture. He's got a little hand sleeves. Crank. Little hand crank machine to spin his record. I like the baby wipes idea. That's good, isn't it?
Very good, isn't it?
Very good.
Perhaps we'll have a segment in the future about getting pen off record
Tim,
sleeves.
You got no. You can tell them your tip for getting the little, you know, the little, like the little grey marks you get on a record that you shared
yeah,
with me. That's
my
brilliant.
God. So yeah, this can be a whole future segment about cleaning up record sleeves, particularly white record sleeves.
Yes,
there's a lot you can do. Don't despair. You know, Paul, your copy of the Beatles White Album that you treasure, we'll get that cleaned up for you.
Thank you, Tim.
Paul on Twitter says, full dunk.
Full dunk.
Good clean, hot tap rinse, and hair dryer to finish.
It's the hair dryer bit that got me. I was like, no way. That is genius, but highly dangerous. Listeners, do not try that at home.
Yeah, we're definitely not condoning that. And finally, Simon Morrison has an important consumer warning to issue, which is that he says that the Disco Antistat, though you know it can be good, a lot of people have success with it, it can damage record labels.
Yeah, he's provided a picture, he showed us the picture, and so did the follow-up the tweet from the other person showed the damage, but I think he replaced it.
Well, there's an upgradable clamp. Which seems to solve the issue.
But do you think that's directly... You know when I said about I dunk them in the water, but then it's the speed that you do it. You get them out really quickly and dry them.
Yes.
By putting them through the anti-stat, if the liquid's going in, it's being in there for quite a long time.
Yes, I think you're right. I still think you're crazy to submerge the labels at all. I really do. But I think you're right. I think speed is definitely a factor.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good segment. Cleaning. What if we never talked about cleaning records again?
We've already said we're going to talk about cleaning records again because you're going to tell them how to get the marks off the covers.
Oh no, I didn't say anything about the sleeves. This is we're only going to talk about cleaning record sleeves from now on.
Should we do the news?
All right.
So this week's news. Well, this is quite frankly ridiculous. Now we have spoken a couple of times about silent records on this podcast already.
We're big fans, aren't we, of silent records?
Well, someone's now taken that to another extreme. Now, I know you're thinking this is an April Fool, because we are recording around that time. It ain't. We are producing a 12-inch vinyl record with 20 minutes of complete silence on each side. There is no narration or sound. You can use it for meditation or put it on whenever you want to enjoy 20 minutes of silence. We're pressing this record on 140 grams of super cool translucent vinyl. Silent Meditation was an unexpected project. My son got a record player for Christmas and was excited
And it didn't work.
It didn't work because it was a Crossley. No. And was excited to buy his first albums. We went digging through used record stores and he came across an album he thought I would like. The Art of Meditation. It was made in the 70s with dreamy cover art and it was only $6. As a fan of meditation, I bought it and took it home to play. The first part was an explanation why meditation was good for you. Then came a few sternly guided meditations. It wasn't at all what I wanted. Note, this record does not require a record player to be fully enjoyed. Technically, it doesn't even require this record. 206 people have pledged $5,954 for this thing. I'm done.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous.
And it definitely is real.
It's real, yeah. Is that peak hipster?
Well, it is, but, you know, why is that the sound of layback playing chess acceptable to you, but the sound of silence not?
Oh, it's just ridiculous. You always have a kind word to say about everything, Tim. And I thought,
I thought
I'm going to get you now. You're going to have no positive spin of any kind, and you've let me down.
If I'm honest, I'm kind of ambivalent about it. As you were reading, my brain was kind of swirling around, trying to decide what I thought of this. Maybe part of me feels it depends on what the sleeve design looks like. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's a really good sleeve, and
oh god.
No, it's terrible, and it shouldn't exist. And it's not even like if it was. See, what they should have done is made it be equally hipsterish, a blank cassette tape, because then at least you could have recorded your own content on top of it. But there's not a lot you can do with a blank vinyl disc.
So, talking of cassette tapes, that's a lovely segue into my trip and city report for Sofia in Bulgaria, where I was last week, in fact, because we had dinner in a burger joint and they brought the bill in a Warren G cassette box.
I saw the photo. I mean, yeah. What was it you said about peak hipster?
Is that peak hipster?
Yeah,
they weren't playing the Silent Meditation record in the background though.
But were they playing Mr. Warren G?
They were playing some pretty dreadful music off Spotify.
Warren G is great.
No, but yeah.
But all right.
Okay. So, Sophia, okay, if you're looking to go somewhere for not just records, if you want to have a nice little break, really, really cheap, but you can also...
Still.
Crazy cheap. Dinner, you know, lunch £3, dinner a fiver, drinks 80p, fancy cocktails, you'd be pushing to spend £3. So, yeah, really, really good value. £11 a night in a nice apartment. So, yeah, crazy cheap. But, obviously, while I was there... There are about 8 or 9 shops. I'm not going to go through them in detail. I'm going to whisk through these quite quickly. The one I really wanted to go to, where I knew all the 12-inch singles were, is called the Boogie Exchange. 4 visits, closed every time.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Did bump into a guy who we'll come on to later in the street. And he goes, oh, hi, how you doing? How's the record hunting going? Yeah, you're never going to get in there. He never turns up. He's DJing all the time. He just uses it as storage, but you'd think it was
Paul.
Still... And I was like, ah. Oh. So, yeah, if you are going to Sofia to look for records, don't...
Because you told me about that place
before
you went.
And
so
it looked...
Really
the door and all about it, it looked so awful and dilapidated from the outside, but I knew inside it was full of 12-inch treasures.
I'm
not
sorry.
Open. 4 visits. Nothing. With that in mind, though, there are some other shops that were open. I'm going to touch upon Diukian Mellow Man. I think it's just called Mellow Man because I can't pronounce the first word properly. It is known as the best record shop in Sofia. It's run by a couple of ladies and there is jazz, soul, blues, hip-hop and modern Bulgarian. None of which I was particularly interested in. To me, it looked like a modest selection of new records... quite a bit of jazz, and then crates and crates and crates of knackered bargains and classical. So unfortunately, didn't buy anything, and I didn't like the atmosphere in there. It was a bit, I don't know, it wasn't very welcoming.
Big was the space?
It was in a basement, and there was like some sinister looking dudes around the back with their like shisha pipe going on and their hubbly bubbly, and the ladies, it did not have a good vibe. It felt really uncomfortable. So
it's not going well so far.
Vintage Stereo, however, which is in a shopping arcade, it's just off the main drag. Now, again, tricky to find, but once you're in there, they had a really interesting selection of Bulgarian and Soviet pressings across genres. Now, the problem with the Bulgarian, I think their local label, they didn't put a lot of stuff out that we would know or like. But I did have a little list of to get some Bulgarian synth pop, and he did have one of them in stock for me, and it was 10 lev, which is about 3-4 quid. It's not, you know, it's pretty cheap and in really good condition. They also had a fair number of dance 12 inches, really cheap as well, like 2 quid each. So I picked up quite a few of those. And then they had a lot of bootleg cassettes, and we didn't spend a lot, and he still gave us a discount. He gave us this Moby cassette, which I tweeted to mute. And it was so funny, clearly just recorded onto a tape.
Did it have the classic stretched artwork?
No, it didn't, but it did. It was badly photocopied and the full Monty. But if you're looking for local music and interesting stuff, lots of Cliff Richard, lots of Bulgarian Cliff Richard and Gary Glitter in there, my God. But different times, different place, different era.
Do the shops seem to reflect it being, without wishing to be rude, somewhat behind some other countries in Europe and around, you know, this neck of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, I could see by the live posters, for example, the main attraction at the National Palace of Culture was a concert by Michael Bolton, and all round town, posters up for a local gig by Wickfield.
Really?
Yeah.
She's still... Oh, that's exciting.
If you wondered where Wickfield was, that's where she is. She's in Bulgaria.
And you went to that?
We did not go to that, no. But I would, do you know what? I'd have no issue going to that, because you imagine that'd be a proper laugh.
Yeah, I'd be really
absolutely
happy to go.
We then found the local vinyl graveyard, a shop called Yonko Stefani. Old fella, quite a large shop. It still had 8 tracks in stock, VHS, cine films in stock.
Not from the time.
From the time, yeah, of course.
So as new stock,
pretty much,
8 tracks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They also had lots of Cuban, Russian, Bulgarian, Yugoslavian, Polish, all in crates. If you
cheap?
No.
Okay.
Here's the kicker. If you know that stuff and that's something you're interested in and you have a knowledge of, then
that's,
you should absolutely go to Yonko Stefani. But you do need that keen interest. For us, the Western stuff, it was, well, all of it, it looked, it had 2 gradings, mint
and fucked
and super mint.
No, he
bloody did. I'm telling you, mint and super mint. If anyone, I'll post a picture of the records, especially the USSR ones. They are all knackered.
Oh, yeah. Well, so his mint was...
knackered.
This is not... Oh, wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't... I mean, the local No Parley is actually a Madonna record. It's the Like a Virgin album. There was a Bulgarian pressing, so everywhere has a copy. And the one in his shop, whereas back at Vintage Stereo, it was a fiver. And then at Yonko Stefani, he wanted like 18 quid. Yeah. Mm. So that gives you an idea. Moving on.
It goes to show that vinyl stupidity isn't limited to just...
Oh, it's alive and well. Yeah, he's... Yeah, who he's selling to, I don't know. I don't know. But nothing in there was... You know, Curiosity Killed the Cat and all that kind of stuff for 10,
and
12 pounds.
Eddie Matbianco.
That's exactly the kind of artist you would find in there, yes. The dance shop that was open is a place called Micro, which is a nightclub, which basically has... about 8 crates of knackered 12-inch singles, all for £3 to £4 each. And I mean proper knackered. DJs absolutely rinse them. And then 2 or 3 crates of overpriced new dance and disco that we didn't buy anything in there. It was just, a waste of time. Vinyl Sound. This is a shop that's quite tricky to find. There's a little sticker on the door. You go through the door, under the arch.
It's in an apartment block, yeah, pretty much,
which has this wonderful graphic as you go through, where there's like a little concierge, an old wooden hut inside the building. This wonderful sort of almost like a church sort of mural painted up on the top of the wall there. You go up a couple of flights, as if you were going to go into someone's apartment. There's a front door and there's a little bit of A4 stuck to it.
Brilliant.
You bang on the door, he'll let you in, and you effectively go into his front room. And in there, really nice fella. He had a lot of collectible rock. So he had a lot of David Bowie, a lot of Beatles, a lot of USA pressings. He was very proud of this huge box. He goes, oh, this is all the USA stuff. And I was looking, there's all Saxon and White Snake and all this kind of stuff. And I think I did buy something because I felt obliged.
But it was slightly tough to find something for
you. Yeah, I spent £3, I think, on a Kid and Play album.
Oh,
he was such a nice guy, and it was so much sort of Pink Floyd, and it wasn't for me. I did also find The World of David Bowie.
Did you? For how much?
It was 38 lev, I think it was.
About £12 or something?
No, 15? It's a bit more than that. It's about £20, I think. Maybe a bit less than that, but it's 16? What's it go for?
Well, we've had a copy in our shop for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks for about £10-12, and it hasn't sold.
Is it the one where they the repress where they put his later stuff picture on?
That's a good question. I can't.
Because this one was you'd think it'd be even easy to sell.
I think it's the one where his sort of hands are up like he's going, what am I like?
Yeah.
I think it's that one.
Okay. So far
it's not. It hasn't been
not
great. Has
been
it?
Great. If you don't collect Cuban music,
what about if you just want a nice holiday?
Oh yeah, perfect. But then we stumbled upon the Record Corner, which was run by the only shop run exclusively by a lady. Her name was Nadia, and she was super friendly, super engaging. She had a fantastic shop of used records. There was some new in there, but it's mainly used. She had all Bulgarian music. She had sections for 12 inches, indie, dance. Pretty much anything and everything was covered in there. She was incredibly proud of her sort of cleaning stuff. Anything we picked out to buy, she whizzed it straight out the back. I think it had already been cleaned. She was double cleaning it.
Oh, she sounds like my kind of woman.
She was brilliant. And I said, I'm interested in some Bulgarian synth pop. She pulled them out. She put them on the shop's stereo. We found some really cool German 12 inches that we wanted. It was
any Depeche?
There was, but it was all stuff we had. But everything was properly priced as well, and taking the local market into consideration, so it was cheaper than the UK.
Fantastic.
Same condition. That is my kind of idea of a perfect record shop, and it reminded me of going into your shop, because it was that everything was presented properly, correctly priced, clean, nicely, nice service, and I felt like I was at home. I was like, this is fantastic.
Did she give you a nice cup of coffee?
She did not, but she was quite happy to talk to us about all the shops. They didn't do coffee, and she was on her own, to be fair. It's quite a big, you know, it's a good sized shop.
So if you had limited time in Sofia, if you're going there for a weekend, would you say it's pretty essential to go to that one?
Yeah, there's only one more, which is Catch a Fire, which is a chap who has a wonderful selection of indie, dance, electronica, hip hop, quite a lot of collectible stuff. He had signed things from The Prodigy, Morrissey, he had Depeche Mode, Front 242, Knights of Reb, Renegade Soundwave, all my favourite bands, all in his shop. It was, though, Coles to Newcastle. Because pretty much everything in there, he'd been shifting over from the UK. All of his buying trips were to the UK. And he did laugh quite a lot when I was buying stuff in there to take back to the UK.
Impressive that his markup can't be that crazy if he can buy it from the UK, have it in his shop, and it's still something which you think that's a fair price for that record.
Renegade Soundwave album for a fiver. Moby promo for £2. It was, you know, it was all correctly priced. So I don't know if he's driving over. Maybe he's taking a van. But anyway, he's such a nice guy. And then he was the guy we were walking back from the closed Boogie Exchange.
Oh, it's him who saw you.
Bumped into
him. Never open.
And also that guy, we were in there, and I said, oh, we've started doing a podcast about buying records. And I said, well, you know, we talk about the shops, and he says, have you heard about this crazy shop in Berlin? And I just looked at him and thought, oh my God, no. Isn't that incredible? Everyone seems to know about this place apart from us. So, Tim, we have a listener question. It's actually come in from Andy Alcock, who we mentioned earlier, who does our designs. He's a friend of the show. But he spends quite a lot of time in charity shops. And his question was, why don't we do a little feature on stuff to look out for that we might not know is worth a few bob?
Seems a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give my trade secrets away, Paul.
No, this is all about sharing the knowledge, Tim. All about sharing the knowledge. Come on, what have you got?
All right. I think it's a very good idea for a segment, and I'm sure it's one that will return. I've got a lot to say just on the subject of Irish pressings, but we'll get to that in another episode. I can give you a couple. I'll just refer to my piece of paper. The first UK press of Madonna's single, 7-inch or 12-inch, of Lucky Star from 1983. If you spot that in a Chazza with a cover design featuring Madonna wearing sunglasses, and let's say they've, you know, it's one of these overpriced charity shops and they've put it up at £3. And you kind of think, £3 for Madonna 7-inch, 80s, yeah, I'll pass on that. My advice is don't pass on that. Because if you find the copy with her wearing sunglasses, that is the first press. It was pressed in very small quantities. I think when they then figured out it was going to be a hit, they pressed a load more up, I think early the following year, with a different jacket sleeve, without, you know, a different photo of her. And if it's in really good nick, sleeve and disc, 7-inch or 12-inch, you could be looking at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 quid for that.
Perfect. Well, I've got one here, which is an album from 2005, which you might find in a charity shop, you might find a boot sale, which is Goldfrapp's Supernature. Now, you might not think that that would be worth...
You might think, oh, they're asking a tenner for it. That seems okay. Yeah, I might take a punt on it for a tenner, 15 quid.
Yeah, it's got the fantastic single on it, Ooh La La, which I really like. Average selling price is £100. There's only one UK copy for sale at the moment on Discogs, which is £150, and it last sold for, I think, around £150. Incredible.
It is incredible. I've got another one here, which you might think kind of obvious, but I still think that the price it actually goes for is surprising, given that this is a band who people bought their... Again, it's another single. People bought their singles on vinyl, even though it's a mid-90s thing. Anything by Oasis from their first couple of albums has hugely jumped in value, I think, in the last maybe 2 or 3 years. Because I'm sure that we've had the shop for 4 years. I'm sure that when we opened, their records were like 15 quid. I'm sure they were. For example, Supersonic, which I think was their debut 7-inch, in really good nick, that is worth 50 quid and up. I remember I bought that when it came out for £1.99, and I sold it about 15 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, for about 10 or 15 quid. So it's quadrupled or more in value in the last 10 years. So that's one to look out for. I know it might be obvious that Oasis singles are going to be worth something, but again, if you've got someone who you might think is asking a bit too much, it turns out, you know, if it's anything less than 20 quid, they're really not asking too much.
Yeah.
That's part of it, I think. It's not necessarily finding something for 10 pence. It's finding stuff where you're like, well, that's not a bargain, is it? But sometimes it genuinely is.
Yeah. And I'm going to end on, which is not one record specifically. It's a whole set of records. And you can spot there are 12-inch singles. They are all from 1992 to 94, primarily 93 and 94. And it's on a sub-label from the guys who were behind Four Hero, so Mark Mack and Dago. They've all got Tom and Jerry on the centre. They're 12-inch singles. They've got Tom and Jerry on them. If you see any of those, they are incredibly sought after. They are all either jungle, breakbeat or hardcore. The price range is 50 quid to 250 quid, somewhere around that. I think there's one's about 40, but the majority of them, there's about a dozen, They are all incredibly valuable. So if you see a 12-inch single with Tom and Jerry in the centre on the label, grab it.
Have you ever spotted
I've
one?
I've never seen one, but they are out there and people do find them. I once bought what was sold to me as a toolbox at a boot fair, a country boot fair, out on the A22. It wasn't a toolbox, it was a record box. And he said, oh, you'll have to chuck the records out from inside it, but you can have. He sold gardening tools.
Oh, God, I see.
It was a rural boot fair, and this guy had like bloody rakes and stuff. And he said, you can have the box for 15 quid or whatever it was.
I'm really sorry, there are some records
inside it. Yeah. So I said, well, I'll give you a tenner. And I took it home and it was full of jungle. So it just goes to show.
It's time now for Shop of the Week. And the thing is, Paul, we're not even a weekly podcast. Shop of the Week this week is Rat Records in Camberwell.
I know it well, yes.
Fantastic shop. First opened in 1988. Still going strong. Super friendly staff. Really broad selection. Very much not just beard music.
Nope.
Loads of calculator music. Plenty of funk, jazz, reggae, hip-hop, house, techno. You know, decent CD selection as well. And we've ripped off one of their best ideas as well, which is that every week, come Saturday, when they open up, there's a section of the shop that is all their new stuff for that week. And often you'll have a queue outside. I think most weeks there's some kind of queue outside.
It's always a queue.
What's really great as well is that the section that has the new stock, because they've been doing this for so many years, they've really nailed how to do New Stock Saturday. And they have basically, it's pretty much a quarter of the shop is a massive sort of record rack on the wall, with the kind of thing that actually you might have used to see in Woolworths or something, where it would be kind of a little stack of records, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, sort of six high. So the one at the bottom is nearest to you, and then they kind of go. But rather than it just being one deep box of records, so it's like a big grid of records, kind of six high, maybe eight wide. Which means that queue of people that come in, someone will be the first person to look at all these different little chunks of records. Whereas how we do it in our shop, unfortunately, it's just one rack and you've got to wait your turn. They've completely nailed it, because person one rushes in, they can start at one end. Person two rushes in, they can start at the other end. Person three can start up high. Person four can start in the middle down low. I mean, it can be carnage, but it's really fun. Their prices are fantastic.
Yep.
Really fantastic. It's like they've absolutely gone for the Discogs middle price. It's their prices are kind of unbelievably good. And, you know, they've been very influential on me selling records in so many ways. I hope they don't mind that I've kind of ripped their business model off. Possibly one reason why their prices are so good and why they have remained so good is actually what is also one of their sort of issues, which is that they're not on the tube, they're not on the train.
Yeah, last time I went there, you jump, get off at London Bridge, jump on the bus.
It's easy.
Take long, it's easy.
But you wouldn't believe how many people are like, a bus? So it's, you know, that in some ways that limits their potential to reach, you know, some people who might otherwise go, because it's like Camberwell. Where the fuck is Camberwell?
Yeah,
so I will say I should say actually, it's in South London.
It is in South London, Tim. I've got to do my little tip, because they do have stock the more collectible stuff. It's on Discogs. It's behind the counter. If you look online, which when I went in there was an Erasure album I didn't have from the mid 90s. I really wanted it. Haggled him down as well, but it was. It wasn't in the shop. You had to physically ask, and then they bring it out from behind the counter. And I know one of our listeners, Rachel, went there, didn't know this. And afterwards, I said, oh, did you get this, and this? And she's like, didn't see any of that. It's like, yeah, because it's all behind the counter.
But if you ask,
they're absolutely, yeah, of course they are. Yeah, absolutely. They'll sell it to you over the counter. No fees, remember. So you can get a little deal off them. They're not paying 8% plus, you know, and the hassle. So you can easily chance your arm to get 10% off.
Was it you who told me about a record shop that you were in? Forgive me if it wasn't, because my memory actually isn't great. but you'll remember if it was you, who was in a very, very overpriced record shop somewhere, and the person's justification for that was that the prices included international postage.
Yes, it was a copy of No Parley in Portsmouth.
And that was his justification for it being, what, 16 quid? £16,
yeah, but that includes international postage to anywhere. I'm like, but I'm here. Not that I wanted to buy it. I was just photographing the price sticker.
And that is one of my favourite little sort of record collecting anecdotes of all time.
Such a weird... Yeah, he chased us around Twitter as well, complaining and moaning. Yeah. Tim, a little funny quiz for you. Now, I've got here reviews of the Pink Floyd, which I'm sure you're aware of.
I've heard of them.
Yes. And the international music sensation that is Mr. Nick Knowles. So I've got reviews of their albums. You have to tell me whether this review is Knowles or Floyd.
That sounds very fun. Before I do, just so that listeners can understand how insane you are, how many Nick Knowles CDs have you had pass through your hands, Paul?
Well, I was sent one, the year before, for Vinyl Santa, by one of our listeners, in fact.
Getting your excuses in early.
And I thought it was absolutely hilarious. So last Christmas, I sent her four in return. And that terrible smoking record, you remember I showed you in the shop? Oh, wasn't that... What a thing.
I would have had that.
It's just this record, and on the... It just says, stop smoking or die, with a picture of a blackened lung on the front.
And when do you think that was from? It's not recent at all, is it? That's a...
Well, the weird thing is, I found it in the bloody hospice shop. So,
I'm ready.
Okay, you know what Amazon reviewers are like? You may not be immediately obvious whether it's Knowles or Floyd. I couldn't take any more of this rubbish. Couldn't get past track 3. Worst sounding album ever. Now, is that Knowles or is that Floyd?
I thought this was going to be really easy.
Mm.
It's because he said worst sounding album ever. I reckon that might be Pink Floyd.
That is indeed Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Yes, well done. I bought this to play in the background on Bonfire Night for my frightened dog. After 10 minutes, he was scratching at the back door to go out and spent the rest of the evening happily sat in the garden watching the display.
So this dog found the torment of live fireworks preferable.
Correct.
To this CD.
Yes. Is that Knowles or Floyd?
Would you buy Nick Knowles to play to a dog? Would you buy Nick Knowles to play to a dog? Pink Floyd again.
No, it's Nick Knowles.
Oh. So that answers my question. Would you buy Nick Knowles to play to a dog? Yes, it turns out somebody would.
If I die, play this at my funeral. Nick and Knowles. You'll die with me.
Oh, it's a rug pull. That's a classic review rug pull. Nick Knowles.
It is Nick Knowles. And the last one. Now, sometimes on Amazon, people leave customer service requests in the review section because they're mental.
Yes. They're idiots. Yeah.
So I would like a refund on Prime TV, which I did not order, for $7.99. Prime time order MB2P58NM4 Mr. T. Lawson. Now, is that a review of Nick Knowles or Pink Floyd?
That's got to be a review of Nick Knowles, hasn't it? I don't believe a Pink Floyd fan would do that. I'd like to... Having said that, hang on. Right, both Pink Floyd and Nick Knowles are popular among older people.
Mm-hmm.
And older people can't work the internet.
How do you do that? Is it going to be singing... Hang on. Where's the button for customer service? Oh, hang on. Actually, I've actually pressed the button for an album and then I'm going to review
I'll press
it.
On.
And I'll just keep going.
Nick Knowles.
It's the Division Bell by Pink Floyd. He wasn't trying to be clever or anything.
No,
it's not subliminal message in that album that I'm not aware of. That is just Mr. T. Lawson.
That is the lyrics to the Division Bell.
Oh, is it?
2 out of 4?
You got 3 out of 4. You got most of them right. Did you? You got 2. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. The point
just
is
a bit of fun.
The point is I tried.
You tried, Tim.
And it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Paul.
Yes, Tim.
Regular listeners to the podcast will by now be aware that I find your taste in music quite amusing, and I find your gaps in music knowledge quite amusing as
right.
well.
Right.
And to that end, there'll be a recurring feature on the podcast that I like to call Educating Paul, where maybe I introduce you to some musical delights that you didn't previously know.
Okay.
As a kind of amuse-bouche to that, I try to find online some kind of list of classic albums. I knew it would be a bit bullshit, and indeed it is. But if I can explain to you the methodology here, a website that no one's heard of called 24/7 Wall Street, but disregard that, has created an index based on album sales, Billboard performance, the American chart system, and recognition among music fans.
So like a fancy algorithm.
Some kind of algorithm. And they've determined, for your pleasure here, they've determined 100 best albums of all time. But that was too many for me to put out onto a list. So I've got the top 50 of them. So, Paul, we're doing a little bit of radio cheating here, because I've actually shown you this list ahead of time.
Yep.
So this is the top 50 out of the top 100, according to some website.
So this is algorithm. Why you asked me to tick off... Okay, I'm with
you. So I asked you... I handed you this list of 50 records, and I asked you to tick off all the ones that you have listened to more or less all the way through.
Yep.
And you ticked off how many, was it?
One.
You ticked off one... out of what is agreed to be the 50 best albums of all time. Paul's listened to one. And what was the one that you listened to?
It was Madonna.
It was Madonna's album, Like a Virgin, yes. Is the only album out of the top 50 that Paul's listened to. I have listened all the way through, or more or less, to 35 of the top 50, which it's not showing off. I just happen to have done.
Yep.
Some of the ones that I've listened to all the way through, I think, are toss.
Okay.
So it's not a value judgment, but it's so interesting that our musical worlds are so different. What I'm going to do, I'm going to hand pull the list. I wonder, Paul, are there any on here that, though you haven't listened to, tickle your fancy?
No, but why don't we get the listeners to pick something?
That's a good idea.
Because I think when we even conceived this podcast, we did touch upon maybe doing an idea of making me listen to stuff, and now you've done this, I think that might be a nice way of doing it.
Well, then why don't we, via Twitter, which we are We Buy Records Pod,
yes,
on Twitter, we'll put a link up to the list of this top 50. Well, we'll put a link to the top 100. People can go nuts if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And we invite listeners to please suggest an album or albums that they think Paul might get something out of, or that you might find tortuous and awful. Either would be funny, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say anything, because if I even mention stuff I really don't want to listen to, they'll automatically all vote for it.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not going to do that.
So you've got all sorts. Now you've got the Beatles,
yep,
you've got
The Doors,
Green Day, Alanis Morissette's in there.
Boston. Hugh,
I think that, yeah,
who,
Boston
who
are
Boston?
In there. Boston, classic American sort of classic rock, you know, stadium rock stuff.
The Eagles,
the Eagles are on there. Yeah.
Queen
are on there. All the good stuff's on there. But you've got Beastie Boys, License to Ill is on there, which you've never heard all the way
through. I'm not all the way through, no.
So there's some good stuff in here.
Can you please pick the Beastie Boys?
No, please don't pick the Beastie Boys. Huey Lewis and the News are on here. That might be quite fun to hear Paul's take on Huey Lewis and the News. I don't know.
The only thing I know about Huey Lewis and the News is from watching American Psycho.
I wondered that. Yeah, it's a spot on. It makes perfect sense that Patrick Bateman would like Huey Lewis and the News, because they are music for psychopaths.
Yeah. With apologies to, we're not going to have any listeners who like Huey Lewis and the News, are we?
Well, if they do, so out of interest, the album by them is Sports.
Okay.
Which I think is the album that Patrick Bateman says is them at their peak, if I'm not mistaken. So it's something to look forward to in
I can't
future
wait.
Episodes. maybe we'll open your ears to all new kinds of beard music that you didn't know existed. Do you know, something occurred to me while typing that list together and going through this thing, that even though I appreciate this is based on some kind of algorithm and you know, some kind of agreed on data, it's very rockist. And I was kind of thinking, but actually, an awful lot of people, possibly even most people, are listening to pop dance chart top 40, you know, pop acts like Amy Winehouse or Adele, or like Ibiza compilations and stuff in the car. They're not listening to Led Zepp.
No.
This is something I'd like to sort of keep thinking about for future episodes, is where's this massive non-rock crowd hiding in articles and in data? Where the fuck are they?
We need to get a look at the Spotify data. That'll give you a clearer picture.
You're right, because that's going to be Carly Rae Jepsen, Taylor Swift.
Bring it on, yeah. I think they do, don't they? They do release it. We'll have a look.
We'll find out.
So we're going to end this week with some more listener questions. Tim, I'm going to let you answer this first one, because it's from Stephen Norgate. How do you repair split seams, but not your trousers after crouching to dig through crates? Do you have a method? Because all I do is stick them in a polythene bag. As long as it's fairly tight fit, problem solved.
That's a good idea. I have a sort of philosophy about fixing up record sleeves in general, including seam splits. If it's invisible on the printed portion of the sleeve,
yep,
I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's what I say. So what I do is I always use masking tape, not clear sticky tape. I don't know why, but that's what I use, and that's what I recommend using. Not sure why, but
softer.
I do. Well, I think it's, yeah, somehow I have found that when going through 50-year-old records that have been taped up by an idiot,
mm-hmm.
the ones that seem to have fared the worst, where the tape has gone grossest, is the clear sticky tape. And the ones that seem to have fared better are the masking tape. That must be where I get it from. So I use masking tape pretty much exclusively for fixing up record sleeves. But I only ever stick on the inside of the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is, if you've got a seam split, especially if it's a small one, it's a piece of piss. You hold the record up on your lap so it's sort of sitting up. You apply a little bit of pressure so the record bows in the middle and opens out, allowing the that inner edge where the seam split is to be slightly opened up for you. You tear off a little bit of masking tape. You press down a bit more so you get it as not flat. You don't want to damage it, but so there's a nice amount of space for you to work with, and you just gently find with your finger there where that inside crease is, and you just stick the piece of masking tape over where the seam split is. For as an added bonus, if you want to, once you've done that and you kind of press it back nice and flat, you can get a bit of Pritt stick, apply a little bit of Pritt stick on the outside where the seam split is, wipe off any and all residue, so basically it looks like you've wiped it all off, but actually what you've done is you've got a bit of glue right in that flap there where the two bits of printed sleeve are coming together, and you've carefully wiped off anything else. Virtually good as new. And I've done this to 100-200 records.
Brilliant.
Works a treat. Paul, we've got another listener question here.
Right.
Vinyl Car Booty wants to know what colour pants we're both wearing, and further, do we synchronise for recording?
Well, I checked, because I knew this was coming up. I am wearing a black trunk.
I'm wearing a grey trunk.
So there we go. They are not matching. And we haven't.
Next time.
And the last question. Now, Simon, this is a really good one. It's about eBay versus Discogs.
You said that last question wasn't a good one.
It's
a bit of a slur against Vinyl Car Booty.
Sorry, Rebecca. Simon Galloway wants to know about eBay versus Discogs, which is best, the pros, the cons of both, and any other options. But that...
It's a can of worms, isn't it?
It's a can of worms, and it's a whole section in a future episode. So we are going to answer it, Simon, but that's going to take a little while.
And don't worry, listeners, it's not going to be an entire future episode.
No. That's it for another episode of We
Buy
Records.